You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Grammar Girl here. I'm Mignon Fogarty, and you can think of me as your friendly guide to the English language. Writing, history, rules, and cool stuff. Today, in honor of St. Patrick's Day, I have a segment about the pronunciation of Celtic, or is it Celtic? A segment about the spelling of whiskey, and the winner of the National Grammar Day Poetry Contest. Let's get started. My family loves basketball, and from my name, you may have guessed that I have some Irish heritage, so I definitely grew up hearing about Boston's team, the Celtics. That's spelled with a C, but I also know many academics refer to the language as Celtic, which can be spelled with a C or a K, but is pronounced like a K. So I started wondering, what's the deal? What's right? Is it Celtic or Celtic? Well, modern dictionaries say both pronunciations are acceptable. All the dictionaries I checked put the Celtic pronunciation first, but contrary to what you may have been told, the first pronunciation listed in a dictionary isn't necessarily the correct or the most common pronunciation. I kind of went down a dictionary rabbit hole trying to figure that part out, so I'll do a little aside and share what I learned. Maybe, like you, I know at some point I was told that the first pronunciation in the dictionary is the best one or the most common one. But I also remember hearing that it isn't true. From what I can tell, it seems like this rule was more common in the past. I found a book from 1918 that said, if more than one pronunciation is allowable, the preferred one is given first. And the 1973 edition of Britannica Junior Encyclopedia for Boys and Girls says essentially the same thing. Where there's more than one pronunciation, the preferred one is given first. But in newer reference books, it's either ambiguous or clearly stated that the first pronunciation isn't necessarily the preferred one. The Oxford English Dictionary Key to Pronunciation simply says, the pronunciations given are those in use among educated urban speakers of standard English in Britain and the United States. To me, that seems to imply that the order doesn't matter, since other dictionaries have been more direct about it. My Twitter friends were especially helpful, quickly sending me the pronunciation information from the dictionaries they had on hand. Freelance editor Deanna Burkhart said her American Heritage Dictionary reads, all pronunciations given are acceptable in all circumstances. When more than one is given, the first is assumed to be the most common, but the difference in frequency may be insignificant. And Karen Conlon, an editor specializing in indie fiction and also a past winner of the Aces Robinson Prize, sent me a photo from the front matter of her Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary, 11th edition, which was published in 2009, and is especially clear on the matter. It read, the presence of variant pronunciations indicates that not all educated speakers pronounce words the same way. A second-place variant is not to be regarded as less acceptable than the pronunciation that's given first. And the next part fascinates me and shows how much interesting information you can glean from a really careful reading of a dictionary, because the word that comes before the second variant can tell you how common it is. If the word also comes before the second pronunciation, it means the pronunciation is less common. And if the word sometimes comes before the second variant, it means the pronunciation is even less common. And then it will also be labeled if the pronunciation is regional or considered dialect. I presume that at least in Merriam-Webster dictionaries, if the second pronunciation doesn't have a label, you can infer that it's used with about the same frequency as the first pronunciation. So coming back out of that rabbit hole, in some dictionaries, especially older ones, the first pronunciation may be considered to be the preferred one, but it's definitely not a universal rule. So getting back to our Celtic-Celtic debate, it doesn't really matter that most modern dictionaries list the Celtic pronunciation first. The argument for the Celtic pronunciation is that it comes from the Greek word keltoi. But although the people the Greeks called the Keltoi may have spoken an early form of Celtic, they didn't inhabit the British Isles, the lands we think of as Celtic today. Instead, they lived in a large region of Western Europe called Gaul, which, from what I could gather, included France, Spain, Luxembourg, Belgium, and parts of other regions. The American Heritage Dictionary has a particularly interesting usage note on the pronunciation and says that the introduction of the K sound is a linguistic change started by scholars, contravening the historical development of the word. In other words, it doesn't match the real history. The argument for the Celtic pronunciation is that the word didn't come from Greek. Instead, it came into English in the early 1700s, in the way we use it today, to refer to certain peoples of the British Isles, from the French word Celtique. Celtique made its way into French from Latin, and nearly every other English word we got from Latin-derived French that starts with C-E-L is pronounced with the S sound. Celestial, celebrity, cell, and celery, for example. A source called The Big Book of Beastly Mispronunciations by Charles Harrington Elster documents what various usage guides and dictionaries have advised over the last 150 years or so, and found the same lack of consensus we see today. Early on, Celtic appears to have been preferred. Then later, some American sources say Celtic is the British form, but some British books disagree. You can even see the switch by looking at old and newer editions of Fowler's Modern English Usage. The 1926 edition says Celtic is preferred, and the 1996 edition says that Celtic is preferred, except for the Boston Celtics and the Glasgow, Scotland soccer team called the Celtic Football Club. So what's a person to think? What should we say? Well, my understanding is that the Celtic pronunciation is greatly preferred by people who study the culture, language, and history, to the point that if you call it anything else, they'll look down on you. But if you're attending a basketball game in Boston or a football game in Glasgow, you are rooting for the Celtics in Boston and Celtic in Glasgow.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday, and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion, and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling, and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Remember the frustration of trying to memorize vocabulary and grammar rules, only to find you couldn't actually use the language in real life? Well, there's a better way to learn. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program with millions of users learning 25 different languages, and you can get it on your desktop or as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. It's really different. You pick up the language naturally, first with words, then with phrases, and then with sentences. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Grammar Girl listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Is it rosettastone.com/grammar? That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/grammar today.
Have you ever noticed that Irish whiskey and Scottish whiskey are spelled differently? If you look at a bottle of Jameson whiskey, which is made in Ireland, it's spelled W-H-I-S-K-E-Y with an E-Y on the end. And if you look at a bottle of Chivas Regal, which is made in Scotland, it's spelled W-H-I-S-K-Y with just a Y on the end. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, the earliest uses of the word are from the early 1700s. And because spelling wasn't as standardized back then, you can see both the modern spellings and other ones, including W-H-I-S-K-E-E and W-H-I-S-K-I-E.
Whiskey is short for the Gaelic whiskibé, or the older uscabé, which translates to water of life.
The consistent spelling difference between Irish whiskey and Scotch whiskey didn't become a thing until the 1800s. American whiskey makers follow the Irish spelling, so if a whiskey is made in the United States, it should be spelled with an E-Y on the end. But other countries follow the Scottish spelling. Australian whiskey, Canadian whiskey, and Japanese whiskey, for example, are all spelled with just a Y on the end. And in case you're wondering about a drink called Scotch, that's whiskey too. It's whiskey from Scotland. It's just short for Scotch whiskey.
As is often the case, I couldn't find any particular reason the spellings became different in different countries. But this St. Patrick's Day, if you want to remember that Irish whiskey is spelled with an E-Y, you can think of the E as being associated with Éire, the Irish name for Ireland.
To finish this week, instead of a Familect story, I have the winner of the National Grammar Day Poetry Contest that was run by ACES, the Society for Editing. National Grammar Day is March 4th, which is both a date and an imperative sentence. It sneaked up on me this year, so I didn't do a special episode, but I'm pleased to be able to share the winning poem with you. This is by Andy Hollenbeck, managing editor and copy editor of the Saturday Evening Post. Learn about the semicolon. 'Tis a good thing to invest in. It splits up independent clauses, not half your large intestine. In an interview with ACES, Andy said, quote, "Knowing how to use a semicolon well is to me like being able to change a tire or to balance a checkbook or use an abacus. But beyond its punctuational work, the semicolon is the winking eye. Who doesn't love that? And its name is ripe for punning," unquote. Andy has been a recurring winner of the annual contest, finishing runner-up at least 3 times. Congratulations. I'm Mignon Fogarty, author of the New York Times bestseller, Grammar Girl's Quick and Dirty Tips for Better Writing. Subscribe to the audio podcast at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you listen. And thanks to my producer, Nathan Sims. That's all. Thanks for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.